Earlier in the show here on Under the Radar, we spoke in the first hour about a firestorm that had broken out in South Africa. This is South African politics and people ahead of an election firing all kinds of missives and people accusing each other of being sellouts during the apartheid struggle and spying for the apartheid regime, etc. According to our guest in the first hour, who was Omar Pacha from South Africa History Online, one should take a lot of this with a pinch of salt because it's an election year and people are obviously trying to wriggle their way to some sort of electioneering and positioning again ahead of the elections. But another firestorm has been ignited in the United States of America, and this is now against Congresswoman, one of the first Muslim congresswomen in the United States of America, the Minnesota Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, who is under fierce attack from the likes of Chelsea Clinton, Republicans, and Democratic establishment figures for, as many people have pointed out, voicing a fundamental truth that much of Congress and other sectors of American politics is muzzled when it comes to Israel and the powerful lobby group AIPAC. Now, somebody who the Israeli lobby has also tried to muzzle over the years in the United States of America is Dr. Rabab Abdulhadi. She is a director and senior scholar in the Arab and Muslim ethnicities and diaspora studies, and the associate professor of ethnic studies as well as race and resistance studies at the San Francisco State University. She's a prolific and widely published scholar who's going to be coming to South Africa also very soon, once again, I guess, for a third, if not latest visit to South Africa. She joins us on the line to talk about her own personal struggles as well as the wider battles against the lobby in the United States of America. Professor Rabab, assalamu alaikum. Great to speak to you again.
Alaikum salam, Brother Ibrahim. Thank you for having me on the air. And hello to everybody in South Africa.
Thank you so much, Professor. Let's bring this home. We can talk about Ilhan. We can talk about the big issues, and we will do that this evening. But your own personal struggle, and there's an entire website that has been dedicated to this, the lawsuit, and the website is supportprofabdulhadi.org. Just take us through your long-standing battles, the lawfare as it is, with proponents of the Israeli lobby in the United States of America.
Yes, let me just say at the outset that although I am being targeted as an individual scholar, this is part and parcel of the attack against justice for in Palestine as part of the indivisibility of justice. The Israeli apologists in the United States, including some lobbyists, official lobbyists, some not official lobbyists, but unofficial lobbyists and so on, people in mainstreams of power and so on, are actually unable to defend Israel's action, because what Israel has been doing since the Nakba 71 years ago and before that, the Zionist movement against the Palestinians, has been documented, but people in the United States have not really heard as much about it. Now Israel is getting even worse in its impunity, in its attacks on Palestinians, taking land, killing its military, its state, its militias, its society is actually engaged in a battle to erase Palestinians who refuse to be erased. Israel's apologists in the United States have a serious problem now, because they are unable to maintain business as usual of Israel always being right, Israel being always supported, Israel being part and parcel of U.S. politics, and more people, including in the corridors of power in Congress, are actually challenging them. The result is not actually for them to stop and say something is wrong with Israel. Israel needs to be held accountable to standards like every other country. We know this about South Africa, the whole question of the boycott and movement, which the Palestinian one is inspired by. We know this in any other country of the world. We always hold people accountable for their actions. And especially because the U.S. is the largest donor of funds, the U.S. government, to Israel. What they are trying to do is shut down anybody who speaks up for justice and for Palestine as part of the indivisibility of justice. Our movement is growing. We have strong people speaking up, not only on campuses, which I am subjected to, but everywhere on the street, including large portions of the Jewish community, who are saying, no, Israel does not speak in my name. Israel does not represent me. I support the just struggle of the Palestinian people. They have a problem because they're losing their constituency, they're losing their support, they can no longer maintain the lie that they for Israel and that Israel represents all Jews. As a result, the way that to do it is to attack. So they've been actually waging a campaign against me and many others, scholars, academics, the people, now Congress people, as we, and Congress has been a long, long time ago, but this is the first time in history. We have actually two Muslim congresswomen, first time in history. This is unprecedented. So they are speaking up. Milhan in particular is speaking up quite strongly. So they want to nip it in the bud and basically tell her, give the message to her and everybody else, that there are consequences to be paid unless you shut up. And this is the same thing that one of the major Israeli groups in the U.S., the lawfare project that causes the legal arm of the pro-Israel community, its executive director, Luke Goldstein, actually said, we are going to exact a heavy price. We're going to make the enemy pay. And they are the ones who filed the lawsuit against me, my university, and other and other staff. I'm the only faculty member, and I'm the only Palestinian who's named in the lawsuit. In June 2017, trying to basically get me fired, trying to stop my livelihood, trying to shut me up, trying to silence my academic freedom and freedom of speech. This is what they said. This is what they're at. So it is the same recipe that we see playing out everywhere. The good news is that we're standing up to this, and we're not actually taking it and lying down saying it's fine. Ilhan Omar is fighting, I am fighting, many people are fighting, and we actually won a huge victory on October 29th when the federal court in the United States dismissed with prejudice the lawsuit of the lawfare project. Now, this is one party that has been attacking. I've also been attacked continuously by Campus Watch, which is one of the main pro-Israel lobbyist groups. It's also led by Daniel Pipes, who is defined as one of the leading Islamophobes in the U.S. by the Southern Poverty Law Center. Another group is, if you go on Twitter, you'll see it. Everything, almost every day they have a new tweet about. Then there is also that David Horowitz, who is also named as one of the leading Islamophobes. There is the Amcha Initiative. There is the Canary Mission, which is the South Federal group that has, I think, like 17 pages about me now. Then there is all multiple ones, the Jewish Community Relations Council, the Anti-Defamation League, Zionist Organization of America. In short, there is a huge group of people who are coming together, organizing in conjunction with the Israeli Ministry of Strategic Affairs and the video that the lobby, which is four-part video, that Al Jazeera censored because it was receiving pressure from the U.S. and the Islamist Organization of America in its fight to survive because it has been formed by Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates and so on. The video was censored, but it was leaked. Now we have it available in electronic intifada. It shows that there is actually an organized group, movement, that comes together, that is, the Israeli government is very much included in it. There are highest people at the corridors of power at the United States. There are people around campus, say, some of them are called Israel on campus, coalition, some of them are called Defend Israel, some of them are called Hillel, International Hillel, at various campuses. They are all coming together and they are planning to basically target and silence any voice that calls for justice for Palestine. And so this is what's happening to me. This is what's happening to Ilhan Omar. And it hasn't stopped. We wanted this as victory, the first victory in the history of the United States that we want to dismiss with prejudice. Meanwhile, Lawfare, the group that took me, is still claiming that they have scored a decisive turning point. And we're asking, what is the decisive turn? They're using it in order to raise funds. They have a new fundraising campaign of $70,000 to raise money to try to attack me, even though they lost the lawsuit. And they are continuing trying to go after different people, either by sneering, either by threatening. I received death threats on my office phone, people saying Muslims will die. I received hate mail. I received a mail or even my Facebook Messenger. I'm not the only one. We are attacked. On our campus in particular, the students and I are actually quite afraid of walking around campus because of these vicious attacks that are also called to violence.
Now, Professor, when we talk about the hallmarks of this particular outrage, if I read from the kind of challenges that you have faced, most of the incidents catalogued in the complaint are by and large simply examples of student advocacy of Palestinian rights, that have nothing to do with anti-Jewish hatred or bigotry, which, you know, just makes it frivolous lawsuits, but very well coordinated. We see this hallmark in the cases against yourself, the cases, the outrage against Ilhan Omar. If you want to extend it across the seas, you come to the United Kingdom, the attacks on the leader of the Labour Party, and it goes on and on. What I am trying to figure out here is that the influence of the lobby has been there for many years, but what has changed now with the involvement of the Strategic Affairs Ministry and the Hasbara Ministry in Israel? You know, is there a fundamental shift? What should we be aware of in terms of the tactics that they are employing at present?
Yes. Well, I think I just want to refer to what you said about that it has nothing to do with anti-Semitism. Actually, as a matter of fact, the work that we are doing contributes to the fight against anti-Semitism, because we, and I'm saying we, all of us in the Palestine Solidarity Movement, are very clear that there are diverse voices among Jews. There isn't one view of Jews, and that defies stereotypes of anti-Semitism. We're also very clear against all forms of hate, discrimination, and racism, and we're on the record saying this. Now, why are they doing this? What has changed is that we are reaching out to more people. Historically, the international community has always told back Palestine and told that the Palestinian struggle is a Jewish state. The United States has been the most difficult place to do it, partly because of the history of the United States. It's just like colonial state, just like Israel, just like the history of South Africa and so on. And so there is kind of...
We just lost Professor Abab there. Obviously, not the best of lines, and she speaks naturally, very fast, rapid. So I hope you're catching the gist of what she's saying this evening. But we'll reconnect with her in just a bit. She's been talking to us about the lawfare attacks on her, as well as the general kind of barbs that have been traded against the representative Ilhan Omar, congresswoman, the first two Muslim congresswomen in the United States of America, over certain things that she had to say on Twitter about the Israel lobby and its influence in the United States of America. And a thought that comes through here is, by these kind of attacks from President Trump himself, as well as other players across the board in the American political sphere, it actually confirms the existence of such a lobby. People will try to shirk away from saying such a lobby exists, or it's so powerful. When you see such a coordinated assault on people who speak out against the lobby, it actually confirms the presence of that particular lobby, and it kind of belies people trying to defend the lobby. While they, with their tongues, are defending the lobby, their actions and the sort of reaction that it's provoked actually shows how untouchable this lobby has been in the United States of America. I believe that Professor Rabab is back with us. Professor, we lost you there as you were talking about how your work and the work for delegitimizing Israeli apartheid is in actual fact a strong stance against anti-Semitism.
Yes, of course, because one is that we are saying that not all Jews are the same. There is no homogeneity. There is diversity among Jewishness. While the Zionists and the Israel lobby wants to say that all Jews believe the same way, they all have the same belief, they all support Israel 100% and so on. And that is simply not true. Actually, more and more statistics coming out in the United States of polls among different people, including especially young people, and a lot of them are in colleges, are the tide has shifted into support more for Palestine than for Israel. And a lot of Jewish young people are also saying, I don't want Israel to speak in my name. I don't want these atrocities to be accredited to me. I am dissociating myself from Israel. So the struggle for and in Palestine, now the people who are promoting anti-Semitism are neo-Nazis, white supremacists, skinheads, who are very much allied with the current administration of the United States, with the Christian right, with Christian Zionism, and with the current administration of the United States. We stand on the other side. We stand for justice for all. And this is the kind of work we do. Now, with the lobby itself, the reason what has changed, you asked me before we got cut off, but the reason things have changed. Two things. One is that Israel has escalated their aggression, but also there have been more and more voices supporting Palestine. Two is that the Israeli lobby and Israeli government and Zionist movement are bullies. Bullies refuse to take no for an answer. Bullies refuse to stop bullying. When bullies are challenged and they are held accountable, they actually become more vicious. Think about it as a domestic abuser, for example. If the person who is being abused says, no, I'm not going to stand up for it, the abuser actually goes and tries to kill them. Doesn't only beat them up, tries to kill them. This is what they are trying to do. They are lashing out because they are losing the hearts and minds of the people, because no longer the lobby can actually silence people and tell them to stop. There are these few voices in Congress, not that many, but few, fierce and strong voices in Congress that are saying, no, I'm not going to be bought. My vote is not for sale. I'm going to stand up and speak up truth to power, like Ilhan Omar is doing. And she is pointing out that it's the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, the lobby, the official lobby, because there is official and unofficial. The lobby itself has actually bragged multiple times in its past about resistance. And as a matter of fact, they used what Ilhan Omar said in order to launch another fundraising campaign. In 2011, Thomas Friedman, the Zionist reporter of the New York Times, said that it will only get ahead if AIPAC supports you. I mean, they brag themselves about that. They have all the power and they can twist the arms of people. They can give donations to people and so on. The lobby, they give you attention to you about that Al Jazeera sensor that's available in electronic intifada also shows again and again. This is what's going on. She was not talking about Jews. She was talking about the lobby of the Israeli government, Ilhan Omar, and she was talking about the power of the Zionist movement. And I support her, and I agree with her, and I stand with her, and I share the same views. But these are people who are trying to silence us, and we're not going to be silenced. So they become nastier. They try to deprive us of livelihood. They try to isolate us. It is like another McCarthyist campaign of the form that happened in the 1950s, that anybody who opposes, who challenges, who disagrees with the policies of the government or things they do not like, they try to stop them. Mm. And neither I nor she nor all of us are going to be silent. We're not going to stop.
The question, Professor, that has been asked, and I think none of us can put ourselves, you know, squarely in the shoes of Ilhan Omar. There's a lot of pressure against her, and you know, we obviously are not there to judge, but there has been a criticism from within Palestinian solidarity circles to question why would she in actual fact even apologize for, you know, some sort of, you know, a statement about alleged anti-Jewish tropes. Would that not give greater ammunition to attack? I know she has continued speaking out even after that particular statement, but does that not give a sense of weakness that would then be tried to be exploited at?
It could definitely be seen as such, but I would like you, me, and your listeners to also pay attention to the bigger picture. The bigger picture is that this is constant, and what we really need to do, even though it is not, should not be the responsibility of the oppressed to explain the oppression to the oppressors, I think it's really important for us to make it very clear that we are making distinctions with who is funding what. AIPAC is a very, very powerful lobby, and she already took on the National Rifle Association. She already spoke about fossil fuel. She took on Elliot Abrams, who was trying to actually effect an overthrow, a coup d'etat in Venezuela, and he's a war criminal. So she continues doing everything that she is doing. Sometimes people are pressured to say certain things, and I think this is part of that. There is not enough understanding that when you speak about this, you are not talking about only Jews. You're talking about a very strong lobby. You're talking about Christian Zionists. So we need to remember that the part of the lobby that lobbied Trump to remove the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv and acknowledge Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, thus denying Palestinian rights and the holiness of the city, were the Christian Zionists as well as the Zionist Jewish Zionists. I mean, right wingers. So it wasn't just Jews who do this. There is actually very powerful interest, because Israel also fulfills a very important role for racist Islamophobes, white supremacists, and engages and makes it possible for the U.S. to continue intervening in the region. I mean, this is all, it's all connected with each other. So I think that the comment might have been unfortunate, but what really makes me very hopeful, very, very optimistic, is the way in which Ilhan Omar continues to stand against them. And she's not giving up. And we just need to build the movement stronger and make sure that we continue making distinctions between Zionism and Israel on one hand, and the Jews who are opposing all of these issues. I will give you one simple example. We have a group on campus, students, that's called Jews Against Zionism. It was formed after the president of my university said Zionists are welcome. And I wrote a dear colleague letter saying that this is actually offensive, not only to Arab Muslims and Palestinians, but to Jewish sisters and brothers, for whom Israel does not speak. And so the Zionists on campus and off campus became very upset. They launched a huge international campaign against me, but you can see it everywhere. My president of my university denounced me. The chancellor of California State University, the umbrella, denounced me. And these young students are standing up and saying, no, Zionism does not represent us. Is the quote-unquote Israel independence day is not a holiday for us. This is a holiday of genocide and so on. And if you look at the tweets from Campus Watch, for example, which is one of the leading attacks, Islamophobic attackers against Palestinian press and so on, you will see they are pretty troubled by the fact that there are voices that are challenging the Zionist hegemony over Jewishness in the United States and elsewhere, because they want to be the only ones who speak about Jewishness and for Jewishness and legitimize Israel as an oppressor of Palestinians. And we are saying no to that. So we need to just do more of this work in order for us to make it possible. And also, I think it's really important for people to give us and support for Ilhan Omar and people like her who are standing up and saying no. Otherwise, people cannot fight unless they have the resources and the support of a movement to be able to fight.
Help me out here with something. Maybe this is a kind of thought that might pass through people's minds as well. When we talk about the nuts and bolts, how the lobby actually works and manages to achieve what it does achieve, many people say, well, it boils down to money and trying to influence people to say a certain thing in a certain way. But when we see such a coordinated attack and people saying things at a strategic time, the coordination of the message, people then would go back and say, yes, you know, money can change people in a certain way, money can exact certain loyalties or favors, but how is it possible for people to become total lackeys of the movement, abandon all sense of objectivity? It's kind of it doesn't make sense at all that, money would do all of this. Isn't there some degree of personal responsibility?
Yes. Let me start with the last point you said. I think this is also part of the crux of the matter, saying objectivity. What does objectivity mean if it is not today used in order to perpetuate the status quo of business-as-usual oppression? The status quo in the United States, in Congress, Chelsea Clinton, Nancy Pelosi, the U.S. President, the cabinet, all of them, they are basically perpetuating defense of Israel as an oppressor of Palestinians that takes their land, expels them, kills them on a daily basis, sucks out their resources, and makes their lives miserable so they would leave. And they're not leaving. That's really important. So this is part of when people say objective, be neutral, it's really perpetuating the status quo. People who challenge the business as usual and say something is wrong, which also happened in the history of the anti-apartheid movement, something is wrong, we need to challenge it, are continuously stomped upon and told to toe the ball, to toe the line and basically not rock the boat. And people who are challenging are rocking the boat. Now, how do the Israel lobby and others, not only any oppressors, what do they do? They have a very strong machine. Israel in particular has this Hasbara machine. They have this Ministry of Strategic Affairs. They also have multimillionaires like Sultan Adelson, the mega billionaire in Las Vegas, who is actually funding and bankrolling. Not only he bankrolled all the Republicans in the midterm elections recently, he changed his position from being not critical of Trump to being for Trump because Trump agreed to move the embassy to Jerusalem. He actually also funded, and this is what people do not know about, he has also funded large-scale meetings in the midst of Israel attack on Gaza in 2014 to bring people together, Zionist pro-Israeli groups together, to strategize how to crush us on campuses and to create something called the Israel Campus Coalition and the Maccabitas and so on. On top of it also is that I said that the U.S., people are predisposed in the U.S. on a mainstream level to actually accept the Israeli narrative. But now there is a lot of challenge. But in return, there is a very strong machine by Israel to, on APAC hand, to kind of donate and give donations to various Congress people and so on. It happened in all sorts of races. There were a lot of even stories right in November during the latest elections here in the U.S., and they continue to happen all the time. Number two is that they are also trying to pressure people and scandalize them in public. And basically, the biggest thing is to actually attack people of anti-Semitism. The minute you say that, in the past, pro-Israeli forces thought that if you say that, everybody is going to get scared and stop. Now it's not working anymore. It doesn't work anymore. Even the charge, the label, what it does is actually harassment, bullying, intimidation, stealing of all of us. But it's not, even that is not working with our meager resources compared with their very, very powerful resources, including money. It's not just money. And their interests align with interests of the lobby, the people who are giving stockpiling guns in the streets that are killing students and kids, and everywhere, every day you hear about a different kind of mass shooting and so on. They are bankrolling all of this stuff. They are very much related. They're connected. They're the people, the same people who are supporting Israel are also the same people who are waging attacks against the labor movement, who are against any taxes on the rich, who want to relieve the rich of all the money. They are against the poor. They're against national health care. They are against our ability to keep our minds. They're against public education. I mean, they're all the same. And they are very much Christian Zionists. Mm-hmm. So all of the stuff, and I think it's really important to see the bigger picture, because that shows us how connected and how intricate this is. But also it shows us how resilient we are, how we are actually speaking up and saying, no, we're not going to accept that. We are going to continue to advocate for justice.
Professor, we've run out of time. I just want to ask you in conclusion, this particular kind of assault becoming all the more common, you've borne the brunt of it firsthand. Others have, and others will still do that because of the kind of coordination that we've seen in the Zionist campaign as well as the Israeli lobby campaign with the involvement of the Israeli government. Just to conclude, the needs for people to walk the talk, now people supporting the Palestinian struggle, to walk the talk, put their money, I guess, where their sentiments are. And
yes.
You just can elaborate on that. How can people do that with regard to your case as well as other cases?
Yes. With regard to my case, we are actually launching a very big campaign. We have an affirmative lawsuit against the university to hold it accountable for its collusion with Zionism and its Islamophobia. Just in the past week, we found out that the university put out a calendar of religious observances that completely omitted Eid al-Fitr and Ramadan and assigned Israel Independence Day as a religious holiday for Judaism. We are enraged. We demanded that the university could change the whole calendar and apologize to us. They haven't, so we're actually escalating, and on Tuesday we're going to the university senate to demand that they hold the administration accountable, change this, and do the right thing. So at the same time, I have my lawsuit. At the same time, I'm facing retaliation. So we actually really need support. We need political support. We need financial support. The court is the court case is costly. The university has deep pockets, and it also has the support of Zionists. So this is also the Israel lobby works as well. So we really need support from everybody, and people can go to the international campaign to support Rabab Abdelhad and get more information. Sign up, like it, receive more information. We put all our videos online. All the information is available. They can just do that, because we really need the support just to be able to continue doing what we are doing. And with reference to Ilham, I think the question is, I stand with Ilham, sending her support, showing that there is a worldwide movement supporting her. That's really, really important, because then she wouldn't feel alone, and she wouldn't feel like she is the sole voice fighting for justice.
What Professor Rabab has just spoken about, there's a Facebook page. It's called the International Campaign to Defend Professor Rabab Abdelhad. and Abdulhadi, Abdulhadi, all in one word. And that's the Facebook page. There's also the website, which is simply supportprofabdulhadi.org. All the details are available, and I guess you'd be able to donate there and get updates as well. And just a side note, Professor will be coming to South Africa in the next month. She'll be here from March the 18th to 19th. It's the Teaching Palestine Conference that's organized by the Afro Middle East Center. You can head off to their website as well for more details on that. Thank you so much, Professor.
And my program, the Arab and Muslim Ethnicity and the Diaspora Studies, we're actually doing the project jointly.
All right. Absolutely. People can follow you on that, on your Twitter handle as well, which is Abdul Hadi Rabab. Thank you so much. Shukran for your time, Professor. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaikum assalam. Thank you so much.
Professor Abdul Rabab Abdul Hadi is an educator, author, and advocate for the indivisibility of justice. She's a director and senior scholar at the Arab and Muslim Ethnicities and Diaspora Studies at the San Francisco University out in California. It's now 16 before 9.